Welcome everybody to the Big Call tonight. It is Tuesday, July the 8th, and you're listening to the Big Call. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's Sue and Bruce tonight. Sue and Brew. Brew and Sue. And Bob is on location. He's remote in the wilderness of Alaska, north to Alaska. And he's up there. I did talk to him today in Alaska, and he is going to see if he can grab a cell signal where he's going to be somewhere between 9:30 and 9:45 tonight. So we'll see if he makes it in. I hope he does. If not, we're just going to power on. Just put our snowshoes on and start walking. I'm picturing. Now, I told Bob, I said, Bob said he was going to go to a ski resort tomorrow. Not to ski, but just to go there and check it out. And I said, is it Alyeska? Because the only ski resort I know of in Alaska that I remember is Alyeska. He said, yeah, that's the one I'm going to. I said, well, that's the one I knew about. Good. Haven't been there, haven't skied it, but I've heard of it and seen video and probably magazines about it. That's about it. Back in the day, I used to get all those ski magazines and snow country and everything. So let's do this, Sue, as we do every call. Let's pray the call in, and then we'll go to you for a teaching that I think will be wonderful, and I can't wait to hear it. So let's pray, everybody. Lord God, we are so saddened by the tragedy in Central Texas Hill Country alongside the Guadalupe River and the destruction that took place as a result of incredible amount of rainfall in short a period of time, which is extremely suspicious to me and those that can read my mind. So we pray for the families, the community, the town of Kerrville, and La Junta, and all of those campsites along the river and all the way down to Georgetown and all those areas that were affected by this, and the entire state of Texas and the entire United States and probably the world is affected by this tragedy. We just pray, Lord God, that of this huge tragedy, something good can come out of it. Something meaningful, something we can learn, something we can have, and we just pray for those who are still missing to be found and to be found alive. Lord God, we just throw up our hands and just say we don't understand it. It caught almost everybody by total surprise. We pray for those people, pray for the communities, the towns, all through the Hill Country of Texas and beyond. Thank you for providing the information for us tonight for the big call. Thank you for Sue. Thank you for Bob. Keep him safe where he is. And thank you for everything you're doing in our lives to prepare us for this event. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, Sue, is that my longest lead-in prayer ever? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. That's okay.
And your nickname is Man of Few Words.
Oh, is that what it is? Thank you. Thank you for that, Sue. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to hold, though. I don't know if that's going to stick.
Well, I don't know.
I'll try not. I don't want to be verbose or verboten or verbose or verboten. But let's... Sue, let's see what the teaching would be tonight that you found for us. And thank you for providing that so faithfully over the many years now.
Thank you, Bruce.
Welcome.
And I'd like everybody just to take a moment to just get quiet so you can really receive this and not let it be words, but let it be an experience for you. And we're dedicating this to deep friendships,
mm-hmm.
soul friendships, and the future of a world that is living beyond the difficult and the extreme, like Bruce prayed about. Plugging into grace with faith. Now, faith is the assurance, the title, the deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is how we plug into the grace of God. Think of it like a lamp. The lamp can only give light if it's plugged into a power source. If it's unplugged, it will not work, no matter how many times we turn the switch on and off. So let me ask you, are you plugged into God's power, or are you unplugged? Have you let fear and worry creep into your soul? Are you attempting to solve your problems in your own power? Or do you have faith that God's power, His grace, will bring you through to victory? You can regain your peace right now by simply releasing your faith in God and trusting God to do what needs to be done in your life. And with that, strength and perseverance will occur. Let us not grow weary or become discouraged in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. One of the most important traits a person can have is persistent determination. A persistent person is prepared and powerful. They've determined that they will not give up until they succeed. Persistence is key because there are going to be difficulties in life. The Bible never promised that when you gave your life to God, you'd no longer have any problems. As I'm sure you've noticed, life isn't always easy. There are going to be difficult days and circumstances that challenge you to grow. But through them, instead of giving up, is what makes us strong. The Bible gives us many examples of perseverance to follow. Moses didn't give up when he faced Egyptian opposition. Esther didn't give up in her plan to save her people. And David didn't give up when Saul attacked him. And Paul didn't give up even when he was jailed for preaching the gospel. These examples teach us that when we know who we are in God and trust His work in our lives, we won't give up, no matter how challenging life is. When things get tough, persevere through the strength you have in Christ. Make a decision that you will never, never give up. And that's our teaching for tonight.
I like that, Sue. I like it. I like the part about faith. I like the part about never giving up. And I like the alliteration that you had four P words in a row. And I was like, okay, that would make a sermon. P, 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 P. Yep, yep, I remember. What's interesting is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not, and I put the word yet in, not yet seen. But the Bible doesn't have the word yet in there. But I think it applies. I think we can say, yeah, that's what faith is. Faith is a physical substance, is what the Bible says. And Sue's teaching read it from an exploded translation that was really good because it gave bigger meaning to the words of substance and not yet seen, and evidence and not yet seen, and of what it meant to have substance hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is like the measure, or if you're in the Midwest, measure of faith is the amount of faith that God's given everybody. Don't know if it's the same amount of faith for everybody. Didn't say that, but you have the measure of faith for you. And then what are you supposed to do with that? This is where belief and unbelief come in. You have the faith to believe, but do you have belief or unbelief in a subject, in a circumstance, in your prayer, in believing for God to do something meaningful in your life? You know, that's what it comes down to. God is impressed by us in terms of our belief. He wants us to exercise our faith, use our faith to believe for something, to speak things into existence that are not as though they were. And really use it daily and stand on the Word of God and stand on what He has told us in His Word to believe. It's an amazing thing if you look back on it. And we have the benefit of having received the gospel, according to Paul. His gospel completes the previous gospel of Jesus and who He was, but then who He became. See, the Jews didn't have that. They didn't have it. They didn't know that Jesus was going to die and go to the cross and die. God knew it all along, because He sent Christ to the earth to be a Messiah. He knew He would be rejected. As the Bible says, they rejected Jesus. They rejected the cornerstone. And it's like, okay, so if God knew that all along, and He had a chosen people who would reject Christ, well, it had to happen that way. And then here we are, Gentile nations, not including the Jewish people, I'm just saying, that really, if Christ hadn't died and been raised from the dead, resurrected, then those of us who are left would have no hope. Our hope is in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His second coming. And prior to that second coming, He's going to come back and catch the church, meaning the believers, those who believe in Him and have received Christ. They're going to be caught away to meet Him in the clouds. First the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who remain will rise up to meet Him in the clouds. And then, thence we shall ever be with the Lord. And we've got 7 years of the marriage supper of the Lamb, while the 7-year tribulation period is occurring on earth. We'll be caught up in heaven, enjoying a marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus. And then, after that 7-year period, we drop back down with Christ to watch him vanquish all of the enemies at the Battle of Armageddon. And He'll do it with the sword of the Spirit from His mouth. He will do it. It's going to be an amazing thing to witness. So, enough of that etymology and last days type teaching. Let's go into the rest of what Sue brought. The idea of not giving up. I was thinking about this, Sue, as you were giving your teaching. The Bible doesn't say anything about retirement. We don't really retire. Now, you might change what you're doing. We're obviously going to change what we're doing. You know, if we're working now, working for a job, doing something entrepreneurial, whatever it is, probably you'll change what you do with your projects and with what we're going to do with Rebuild America, Rebuild International, don't forget Veterans Retreat Network, and pastoral retreat network. Pastoral, I haven't talked that much about. It's designed to work with evangelists and pastors and missionaries. So that'll be a cool thing, too, that we'll have those set up as well. But, Sue, I know I got off on a couple of tangents there, but I really did enjoy the teaching. It's a really good piece about faith, and it's really good about never, ever, ever give up. Wasn't that Jim Valvano that said that? Never, ever, ever give up. Many people probably have said that, but I remember Jim Valvano said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, Sue? Well, Sue, that's what I got for the teaching. Tell me what you got out of that teaching, please.
Well, I loved plugging into grace with faith. And I think that's going to be very important in this new era that is going to have us understanding how what Christ was teaching and what we now know from the, I'm not talking about the sort of scientific mainstream, but the people that really understand the quantum underpinnings of reality. So when I was reading about faith is fact, what we know, and Christ exemplified it, is that when you take your eyes off the appearance or the circumstance or the disease or the condition, and you use your faith in Christ and your ability to co-create with Christ, the light of Christ, which is shaping your reality, and you see the end, you see the final outcome. You're not just looking at, you know, let's take the Guadalupe River situation. You can feel that that is probably man-made or was engineered. And that was very cool of you to bring that out, Bruce. But what do you do with that instead of taking on, oh my gosh, you know, there are these horrible energies out there? You have to be, everyone is waking up to this. We're all ending the rule of sort of dark approaches to and dark wars on this planet. And we have the power to create in Christ the solutions that we need. That's faith as fact. Faith as fact is not giving our power to something outside of ourselves, but standing in Christ and choosing what we want to see. And that's a practice. It's taking scripture, but it's practicing what Christ said. These things, why would he say to us, these things and greater shall you do? Why would he say that? How many people do you know are choosing to take, or how many people do you know that have gone through something tough and then totally come back stronger, harder, much more empowered, instead of going, wow, you know, this happened to me or that happened to me? Mm-hmm. And that's where we get into the second teaching. And who you surround yourself with, the second teaching, which was about strength and perseverance. And so I just want to leave everybody with, there are two ways of looking at things. There's the horizontal level. That's like where you're coming from, the local level of what your five senses can see, what you're hearing about, how people typically approach it. And then there's the vertical level, the internal level, that says, I am the consciousness of Christ that can focus my energy on what I want to see, what I choose to see, what will serve the world to see. And that is your strength. That's what I'm sure everybody that's listening to this call has recovered from this multi-year experience, is you're not the personality that you thought you were. You're not your body. You are the strengthened person in Christ. You are the blazing freedom and faith in Christ. And together, nothing in front of us can't be healed by what we're going to do together when this finally goes. That's the perseverance part.
Mm,
so mine is more of a, let's see, recreating reality in Christ today message, mm-hmm. and what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And yours was the scripturally based message, I guess.
Yes.
So that's how
it
I
was. Well, that's good, Sue. I like that. I enjoyed that. And as always, we love to expand on the teaching and comment on it. Fortunately for us, Bob's not here to hear this now. He's up in Alaska, and quite possibly he'll phone in. ET phone home. No. Bob will probably try to call in if he can get a cell signal wherever he is in Alaska. And hopefully he'll join us between half past the hour and quarter of. So we'll see if he comes in. Hopefully he'll make it in.
You got to move along,
okay.
too. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. let's move it, Sue. We're doing well, though, I think. All right. Tell us, Sue, thank you for that teaching, by the way, very much. Tell us if we have any prayer requests or praise reports tonight to read out.
We have a slew of them.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to start with Pastor Scott. Tonight's praise is for spending last Saturday at Frontier City in Oak City. Bruce, I'm sure you know this place. Spent whole day with kids
and grandkids.
I've heard
of Frontier City, yes. Yes.
I walked 9,600 steps, a major undertaking. My prayer is that my body is still in recovery. I've also been praying for all Big Call Universe all over the world. I love you all. Be blessed. Keeping it short and sweet. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Pastor
yep.
Scott. And so we're going to just
Scott.
Make a short, sweet covering of your prayer, Pastor Scott, and say thank you for writing in and continued healing. An amazing job on your recovery.
Yeah. Yep. And one step at a time. One step at a time. Just like he's doing. Fantastic.
I'm a 67-year-old man connected to emergency room machines due to inflammation of the pancreas and full bladder area. I cannot keep subjecting myself to these harmful pain med chemicals. Every day I want to wake up in heaven. I know Jesus can heal me, and also med beds can also help me. So all the Big Call Universe calls stopped. What does that mean? Does anybody know how soon redemption centers and MedBend centers are starting? I'm desperate. I've been in the emergency room going on 12 days. Please point me to who might know. Please don't ignore me, Bob Brown.
Bob Brown?
B.A. Brown.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do a short prayer. Remember, we're at 9:24, and we've got three or four other things to say.
Okay, sure.
So I'm going to just do a short prayer for you, Ba, and say we all feel you. We all see that Christ is now sending everything you need to know and see and feel and choose the scenario. You've got to practice this, Ba. You've got to practice being the person that's in the med beds. You've just got a little ways more to go. You've got to see yourself. What would you be feeling if you were getting in the med beds? What would you be feeling if heaven was in your body right now? You don't need to escape to go to heaven. Heaven can be in your body right now with the quality of your thoughts, with what you're picturing, with what you're seeing. I know it's hard, But that's your practice in Christ. We see you getting to this finish line and being astounded at your strength and grace. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Maybe you can speak to that a little later, Bruce.
Sure.
This is Heavenly saying hi to everyone. It's such a pleasure knowing you all. I'm in Canada, and you know absolutely nothing over here other than what I've learned from you all at Big Call. Please, God, for all of you and what you've done getting us this info we now know. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. Please pray for us over here. The silence is deafening in all that we're not hearing. Ha ha. Please pray with us and for us that there will be more information revealed to us, Tier 4 group over here in Canada. Please also pray that the information revealed to us will be clear and understandable for us to follow over here. I know there will be similarities between us here in Canada and the USA regarding the protocols and steps. So you've got, boy, you got your work cut out, Bruce.
I can do it. I can do it now or I can do it later, whatever.
Later. Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Regarding the protocols and steps that will be followed or taken, this I once read a while back in one of your notes written for us to read and after one of your calls. I do pray this will be true. Have a wonderful and blessed day to you all today. Sincerely yours, Heavenly. So I think that's done. I'm formulating a very radical new plan for this evening as I go through this.
Okay. I can take care of Heavenly. Just help me remember her, and I will.
Heavenly. Okay. Depending on when Bob comes in. Okay. Next, please pray that God's will be done regarding my husband's career. Please pray the Lord will open a way for him to have the freedom where he can flow in his creativity. Sounds like this is a different woman, but sounds very much the same. Doing the things he loves to do and not have to be in the toxic environment where his peace is challenged, Cheryl. Now I'm just going to do a prayer for, I got to speak to our friend, and you don't know who I'm talking to, right, Bruce? Before the call. And I learned about, and it was very interesting to witness, that he was telling me the story about how he got into the currency. And just having the thought, Cheryl, of doing what your husband loves to do. I've been able to do that for 32 years. I mean, I don't work. I play in what I love and help people in what I love. And to have him in an environment, so we're seeing him in an environment so soon where he's only pursuing what lights him up, what brings him into his optimal experience of joy and excitement and creativity. We see him doing that. Ask him to see that and do that. Ask him, even though he's in the middle of something he doesn't love, he can still be picturing and talking about, I can't believe I'm going to get to do what I love. Anytime he can take a break, have him doing that in Christ's name and watch him. He's got to learn to take his attention off what he doesn't like and put it in his imagination so that his imagination, his divine imagination, is leading him, giving him ideas, and creating the new connections in his own body and mind and spirit that will lead him through Christ into a new world. In Jesus' name, we pray and say amen.
Amen.
Okay, one more, I think. And two
okay.
more.
Okay. Okay.
My son and his wife have found out that their landlord is not renewing their lease that expires at the end of September. There is a huge housing crisis in their area. Literally, rentals are not available, and when they are, many people apply. Panic is setting in for them. Okay, boy, this is I've taken in their family before, but we only have 2 bedrooms available. They also have 2 dogs as part. They love the school they attend. And if the RV comes through soon, that would be such a blessing. We can then purchase them a home. Okay, so this is a really, this is a powerful moment for everybody. I want you to stand back and look at the pattern. The pattern, and it's totally reasonable. Every person here has been focusing on the circumstances. And the circumstances are really, really big. And what happens is when you're looking outside yourself and saying, this is really big and everything out there is really much bigger, and you're going into the past and you're going into, you know, what's not working, and you're awfulizing things, you're creating very deep powerlessness in yourself. And what happens is when a son is taught, Mom, you know, this isn't there, and this isn't there, and this isn't there, then the mother takes that on, and the whole family gets what is called, basically, it's just emotional contagion. Like everybody gets pulled down by the lack, by the scarcity. Listen to what Bruce is going to say. But here's what I'm going to suggest. I want you to go on a mental diet. And I want, instead of thinking the problem, what would God think? How, if you had the total awareness of God, God's possibilities, Christ's possibilities, what would Christ say, feel, and know about that situation? He would say, I can't see it right now, but if I quiet my mind and I don't bring in all that outside information, the world is infinite. There are infinite possibilities. I can reach and touch and create not from what's out there, but from possibility, from faith. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to think, I don't, write this down, I don't know how, but God knows how. This is all going to come together miraculously. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm taking in from the outside. It doesn't have anything to do with what has happened in the past. It has everything to do with how I'm focusing my attention. And my attention is now focused on how amazing this all turned out. How amazing this is, that I'm running God's energy through my body right now to create new circumstances. How amazing I'm going to get my son and I to think like this, and we're going to do an experiment. What amazing thing is going to show up that's going to show me that I might as well be blushing because I just created this amazing little breakthrough? Either something pops in or a new house shows up or something, but we just catapulted out of the old way of thinking and survival and scarcity, and we did it together. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Amen. Okay. Make your, focus your attention on your intention.
There you go. Good job. Psalm 147, he heals the broken hearts and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now take, here's the thing that is a little different about my approach.
Mm-hmm.
Words stress your left brain. Your left brain kind of separates you from the feeling. Think about what that feeling would look like if you were lifted up and you were feeling the right hand of God as you, as one with you, all that light and all that energy. Today we pray for all the flood victims in Texas and their families, first responders and volunteers, and anyone else conducting the rescue missions to find all those still missing. We're all sad and heartbroken for all the young children that did not survive. We pray for all the leaders and listeners, RV Blessing, MedBeds, and Positive Registrations for Peace. All wars ending, we're praying for lasting peace. We continue to pray for everyone's health, finances, and well-being. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everyone have a blessed week and hope and pray we get the 800 numbers this week and get the opportunity to get an appointment for the MedBeds quickly. And then she's asking, yep. Or do we have to wait through all the groups 1 through 4 or phases?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Not
so
at all.
Jeannie.
Thank you, Jeannie. And that's it.
Okay. And that's it.
And yep. And Sue, guess what?
What?
I had a dream about you last night.
Okay.
And it was a tennis dream. And we were playing tennis. And
okay,
I was
good.
Helping you and giving you a little bit of instruction on your volley. And that's about all I remember. I just remember we were playing tennis and we were really enjoying playing tennis. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Oh, that was good. That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
So there are a couple of ways we could go with this. I'm looking at the clock. Mm-hmm. It's 9:37.
Okay. I'll check in with Bob. Bob, are you in the house? Over. Bob, have you come in yet? Over. Okay, he has not come in. I say we go forward.
Yeah, no, I think we would hear. Yeah, I think we would hear. I guess we'll just go forward because my segment is actually going to be a little bit of an announcement. I have people in the pod. I love you, people of divinity.
I know, you podsters.
Our leadership group, and it's so sweet that everybody's saying, I want to pay for the class now. It's next week, the end of next week.
I know, and it's not even
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to the other Bruce and Shamim and people that are writing
Wait
in.
Wait a minute. There's another Bruce?
They're not.
Uh-oh.
There's another Bruce, and he's like, and that really is, I'm going to speak about something that's very, very important.
Okay.
And that is, they found that the happiest people are people that work their curiosity like it's a workout. And you know that I do because I every morning I have to go on a curiosity drive. And so what it is these are people that are so curious to explore their leadership capacity, which we're going to talk about in a minute, who want to explore, you know, what is emerging, which is what we do. We talk about the new emerging systems and the new emerging leadership theory. We talk about getting grounded in your Christ body as the new healthy leader. We do all of that. And we bring in what are the components that are going to make your leadership and your project, it was in our world class project, the world is depending on how you create your projects. It's big stuff. It's like, what are you learning about yourself as a leader? What are you learning about yourself as, you know, aware of what's coming in on leadership. And so tonight, I'm going to just make one little announcement. Our next class will be released. You'll get information on it Monday or Tuesday next week, and the class is the 17th and 18th. That's the Thursday or Friday, 17th or 18th. That's number one. So everybody, the pod is kind of together on that. I'm working on different things right now, but we have this class basically set to go. We're just going to be communicating Monday, Tuesday next week for the class, the 17th or 18th. That's how we're doing that for now. And for everybody, including the pod, here's something to keep you and tide you over. We're going to be doing it two segments if we have a call on Thursday. Write this down, please. Define your leadership identity before someone else does it for you. And this is coming from Forbes, but I thought it was such a strong, insightful article. If you don't define who you are, someone else will. Why leadership identity isn't the same as personal brand. The entire conversation around leadership identity is about knowing who you are and the value you're bringing and creating on a regular basis. I don't care who you are. I care that you're true to who you are. Let your work speak for itself. The core of your leadership identity has always been rooted in one concept or one word. And so this author is saying that his leadership identity, get ready, Bruce, because you're about to get questioned, is rooted is rooted in one word, and that's excellence. For me, I thought about this. So this is all you have to do for tonight, everybody, is make yourself accountable, that's self-leadership, to come up with, what do I want to be known for? What do I stand as the core of who I am? And don't say Christian. That's too
easy.
No,
I'm not. I'm not going to say that. I already have a word.
Hold on. I've got some words for you. You've got to be able to have a word that you stand for, that you literally walk as that value. It's like your deepest value. And my deepest value is integrative well-being. And that's kind of, for me, it's about making your mind healthy, your body healthy, your spirit healthy, your emotion healthy, your social connections healthy, what you do to the planet as you're walking around healthy. It's like something you've worked a long time and have applied discipline and behavior into that creates your, like how you show up. Do people tell you, you know, what do they say when they experience you? What do they say? It's where your inner and your outer is lining up. So, Bruce, where do your inner and outer line up so that it's something that you feel about yourself and people also comment about what you do? Go ahead.
Well, the word that I came up with before you gave your conceptual three-word concept is integrity.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's very good.
Integrity, yep. And the second word, if I had a second choice, would be faithfulness. Faithfulness.
That's true, and that's true, and I know you, and that's really true. Yes.
Well, that's what I have to say.
That's really good. And what we're doing here, the article goes on. Let me tell you what the name of the article is. Define your leadership identity before someone else does it for you. This is coming from Forbes.
Right.
But it's also a way to a lot of people that may be coming from corporations or maybe who've been in families and haven't had to lead, shape-shifting for approval results in burnout. So it's something that's pretty interesting when you really look at it. I've been fascinated by watching, you know, people who are having weddings lately or celebrity culture or the things that are set up to be, oh, this is the pinnacle of success. Those people are trapped in living life based on measuring up to a material or an external success factor. It's a heavy, heavy burden and trap. And so the reason why I was bringing this in tonight, and I hope it's been helpful, I want you to think about what you want to be known for, integrity and faith, and then maybe turn a little bit, you know, what you want to be known for to yourself, not abandoning yourself, but like honoring. Another one for me was honoring self. Too many people have died, and we know some of those people, because they were honoring people and they never honored themselves. So they coped with addiction, they coped with being a workaholic, they coped with being away from their family. That's no way to live. So get really clear on your leadership identity. That's going to be our focus for this week. Really, really important that you're leading yourself. I don't care if you have a family. I don't care. You've got to take a hard look at who do I want to be in this next chapter, and how healthy is that? How rooted am I in that? So no one could take that core identity from me. And I can stand in it rock solid no matter what's going on around me. I will not give up. I will not do things for approval. I'll only do it to be in integrity and faith, like Bruce, and hopefully an integrated well-being like Sue. And that's my segment for tonight, Bruce.
Well, thank you, Sue. That was wonderful. Nice wrap-up. I like that. That's great. Excellent. And now let's check in to see if Bob, who is in Alaska, 4 hours behind the big call on the East Coast. Bob, are you there? Do you have a signal? Can you unmute and can you come in? Over. No word from Bob yet. So I'm going to say he might not have made it in. Sue, time hack, please, if you have it.
Time hack is 9:49.
Roger, 9:49. Well, I'm going to do Bob's segment tonight and say that Boomers, as some of you guys might remember, offered a new sale last Thursday that gives us 5 products half off, 50% or half off the normal price. Well, yours truly took advantage of this sale today because the products include collagen, Goodnight formula, ashwagandha, resveratrol, and vitamin C. And I took advantage of all of those today and stocked up a little bit, especially on the Goodnight formula. And I highly recommend that you guys take advantage of this 50% off sale on those 5 products. And You can go find those when you go to bigcalluniverse.com. And then when you get on the homepage, you'll see a banner at the top that says Boomers. Click on it. It's a direct link to Bob's website, to the Boomers site. You'll go in. You'll be able to pull down the product menu, see the products on sale. And then and there's really two sales going on. You've got the sale on the five products at 50% off that I just mentioned. And then there's the other sale, which is more cumulative. You pick the products that you want to buy on sale. And when you accumulate $75, you get 10% off. If you go to $150, you're at 15% off. And you get all the way up to $200, you're at 20% off. Now, that is apart from the five products that are 50% off. And I do not believe you can count those five products toward your total volume. No, I don't believe so. So that's when you call. If you have a question, call in and ask if you have a question about it, or just go online and see the products on sale and do it. Now, you know how to get to the website through bigcalluniverse.com. Click on the banner at the top that says Boomers. Take you right into Bob's site. And then the toll-free number to call is 800-861-4609. 800-861-4609. It's good 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Eastern Daylight Time. And so Bob is out in Alaska. He's going tomorrow to Alyeska Ski Resort. So if you're up there and you know Bob, say, hi, Bob, we missed you on the call last night. maybe he'll check in with me in the next day or so. Maybe he'll make it on Thursday night's call. We'll see. But this is vacation for him. So he's out there exploring, and he's got a pretty cool agenda. And he should be back on the night of the 15th, I believe. So, but nice 10-day vacay for our man Bob. All right, now, let's get into, now you know that this is something that you guys need to do, is to go to the site, check it out, and see what products you're interested in, and take advantage of these two sales that are on right now. All right, Sue, help me to talk a little bit. Let's get into Intel. What time is it, about 10 mm-hmm. minutes of?
Yeah, 7 minutes of, yep.
10 of, okay. We had prayer requests. I've got the one that was about Canada. What was her name again from Canada?
I don't have it pulled up, but yeah, okay.
It.
So it's about Canada.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the other one was before that one, and I don't remember what that was dealing with. Do you remember the other prayer request that I was going to try to talk about? The first one?
It was about the med beds and how we get in and all that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, got it. All right, let's talk about that first. Med beds have been, you know, they're in position. They're all over the U.S., and they're in Canada. They're even in Mexico, and they're all in other parts of the world. And I can't tell you the concentration of med beds everywhere else, but I know we've got a ton of them. I say that. We've got, gosh, Sue, how many med beds do we have? We have med bed centers, two med beds in each location. So there's a med bed center.
I thought it was like 7,500. Yeah, I thought it was like 7,500 med bed centers in the U.S.
Okay, that sounds about right. And who knows, that number keeps changing and going up. There are mobile med bed units that they'll be using to drive to people's home or to their hospice locations or whatever. I mean, those are also quite extensive. And they're mobile units, all right? So here's what the latest thing we've got was that med beds would be available to us by or before the 15th of this month. Now, we do know we need to do our exchange first, tell them we need to get in the med bed if they can't see it already on you, but they will enter in the computer that you need. You want to go into the med bed, especially if first priority goes to Zim holders and the next priority is dire need. So they want the Zim holders to live long enough to see fruition in their projects in 50, 100, 200, 300 years, to see the conclusion of a lot of these projects. And some of them will be ongoing, and there might be no end to them. But the 15th was given as the new date. Now, some of us have a special dispensation to go in very shortly after the exchange appointment. And that's fine. That's great. Some of us have that. And some of us are already in the system. Or when we go into the Redemption Center, they'll check and say, oh, yeah, okay, we've got you in the system. You're in. And they'll enter something about you coming in to the Redemption Center, etc. So med beds are ready for us. And look, they may make an announcement to the rest of the world, let's put it that way, as early as the 15th, which is a week from tonight, a week from today. So they may do that, or it might get pushed back, but we should be good to go shortly after we exchange. Okay, so there's your med bed. And yes, I have not personally seen it, but my handler has seen them. And we know a little bit about them. Because we've seen them, we know how they're going to sort of operate, what they look like, how the data is going to be entered into the computer, how it's going to all work. And this is the time, if you haven't got it yet, to go ahead and send Sue an email to get the MedBed 100 to tell you everything you need to know about the MedBeds and how to prepare for them with your MedBed list and your interview that takes place for 10, 15, or maybe 20 minutes before you get in to the med bed. And I can just tell you this much. When that clamshell cover closes, it's still a foot and a half from the mattress, the little pad on the med bed. So there's no claustrophobia. It doesn't close down on you. It's not like a CT scan or anything like that. It's totally wide open. And it does what it needs to do without giving you any claustrophobia. So don't worry about that. Get up with Sue. $100, MedBed 100. We'll tell you everything you need to know in that two-class course. And you want to go ahead and send her an email to integratedminds@hushmail.com. And tell her that you either have PayPal or you don't. And put your name and your cell phone number in the email and send it off right away. Because she would activate that. And then watch your emails. Check your emails. All right. Now, let's move on to the next question, which was about Canada. Will Alberta, province of Alberta, will it secede from Canada? There's talk about it. They're going to have a referendum, you know, if they get enough signatures that of people in Canada that want to leave Canada and join the United States. I'd love Alberta because the great skiing over there in Banff, Lake Louise, sunshine. Oh, yeah. Don't forget that Greek restaurant on the main drag in Banff, too. It's great. They do a beautiful leg of lamb at that Greek restaurant. And they break the plates and everything. You know, it's pretty cool. All right. So, hi, Cheetah. So let's see what else. So let's talk about Canada. Canada has a number of redemption centers. Do they have one in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan? I don't know. But you know the concentration of population in Canada, for the most part, is in the first 100 miles north of the U.S.-Canadian border. So the major cities, obviously, would have redemption centers. And the group that is over the redemption centers for Canada is primarily HSBC, but it probably is staffed by people from RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, and also Scotiabank, and maybe some other banks for that matter. But the trick is to call the 800 number that I will get and see what they say about your... The weird thing is your zip code is not, you know, where you have the letters and numbers in your zip code. We don't have that. We just have numbers here. But anyway, whatever you can do, try to go to a redemption center and set an appointment, just like we're going to do stateside. And if you're Canadian, don't try to come down with currency into the United States, because it could be seized and you could be, let's just say, arrested. And if you're coming up from Mexico, don't even think about trying to bring currency in to the United States to exchange it. Forget about it. You will be arrested and your currency seized. Okay? Don't even think about it. Do it in your own country. Because when JSARA kicks in, everybody that's a citizen of Canada gets JSARA money. Everybody that's a citizen of Mexico and all the other countries in Central and South America get JSARA monies spread around. Okay? Now, in the U.S., we're on what we call NESARA, N-E-S-A-R-A. And that's going to happen and roll out. My understanding is there could be a change to this, that most of NESARA will roll out between September and the end of the year. And I couldn't tell you exactly what is going to happen when. So don't look for NESARA to roll out immediately. However, we do have an asset-backed currency, and I think I told you guys Thursday that all countries in the world are to have asset-backed currencies now, okay? Which means they're backed by whatever the in-ground assets are in the country, like, for example, gold, silver, palladium, platinum, copper, other metals that are important, also by oil, natural gas. In our case, we have intellectual property, patents, all of that stuff has value. And all of that is part of the assets that are backing our USN currency. Okay? So for Canada, just make sure that you try the 800 number. And I'm not sure, but there might be an 800 number separate for Canada in your emails. Because I know that I heard that at one point, that there would be a separate 800 number for Canada, separate for Mexico. Now, if you're in Mexico and on south into Central and South America, I believe the lead bank is Banco Santander, or Santander Bank, is what we would call it in English. Banco Santander is a major bank, the Spanish bank from Spain, and they've got branches all through Latin America. Now, that might be a little tougher to get with, but I think you'll still have, I believe you'll have redemption centers in Mexico and Central and South America, but I haven't really heard specifics about it like I have in Canada. It seemed like in Canada we had something in the vicinity of 1,500 to 1,700 redemption centers. So, and these numbers can change, but the benefit of using the redemption center as opposed to just any old bank is the rates are going to be better at the redemption center, certainly on the ZIM, because they'll be the only people that can exchange it right away, or redeem the zim. And secondly, the dinar will have a contract rate here in the United States. I don't think it's going to happen everywhere else. I think it's just for us that we get a contract rate on dinar. Rates, let's talk about it briefly. We heard today, we heard yesterday that there were no rates on redemption center screens. No rates were up. Okay. And then today we heard half of the currencies had rates on the redemption center screens. Don't know about the banks, but the redemption center screens had half. We anticipate that tomorrow all currencies, and there are 24 total currencies at last count that would be going up significantly in value, all 24 of those should be up on the screens tomorrow at the redemption centers. That's what we're hearing from a redemption center operative, a leader. Now, another thing that we're hearing, and by the way, we know a little bit about Canada because we do have a contact that is familiar and over a number of redemption centers in Canada. So we do talk to him. The other piece that's interesting for me is there is information from another redemption center leader. I believe he's over 8 redemption centers in the United States. And he is saying that we should exchange by Thursday this week. We also hear that bondholders should be able to access their funds from their bond transactions either Wednesday, that's tomorrow, or Thursday. We also heard that we would be getting our toll-free number, which I should have access to, either today or tomorrow. Hasn't happened yet today, but I'm thinking it could very well happen on Wednesday, with us setting our appointments Wednesday and going in for exchanges on Thursday. Okay? So that is really the most pertinent information that we're all looking to have. We're looking to get that. We know that we have heard, I told you guys last Thursday, that Social Security increases would be as low as 90% above what people are receiving that are 65 years old now, and higher up to 110% if you're 70 and older, 110% of what you're currently receiving now. Now, will it occur this month? Well, tomorrow's Wednesday, second Wednesday, people. In the U.S., I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know what happened on the second. I don't know. I haven't heard a report of anybody that's the first Wednesday on the second having been paid an additional 90 to 110%. I haven't heard that. So I'm going to hold off and say I don't know for sure, but we thought or we were told that the increase would occur in the month of July. Well, could they make an extra payment in July for those in the first week? Yeah, they could. So we'll let that one lay. We don't know. That's the least important for us anyway. The RV, get the 800 number, setting your appointment, going in for your exchange. The R&R has been approved in the Big Bad Beautiful Bill. I add that extra B, don't I? The Big Beautiful Bill is supposed to be in there. I've been told it is. And so is the DOGE payment. And those are going to be some pretty significant numbers. So we'll see what happens on that. And we'll see if they're included. And we have that this month. So let's see. Is there anything else Sue, is there anything that you can think of that we need to talk about? Because I think that's all the basic intel that I have.
I think that's it for tonight, Bruce. Yep.
I think it is.
Just reinforce that a class would be happening on the 17th and 18th, and news and information on that will be going out on Monday, Tuesday. That's
okay,
it.
This Monday, Tuesday, information will be going out to everybody in the pod and those that are interested. If you're interested in that future class on the 17th and 18th, which is Thursday and Friday of next week, you just send to an email and say, next class, I'm in. Next class, I'm in. And it's $100, two-night class, Thursday and Friday nights of next week, the 17th and 18th of July. And we'll have a call on Thursday, and I hope it's a celebration call, you guys. I hope so. Listen, I'm looking for that number. I'm looking for that 800 number to come to me any day now. And when it does, we will put it out on the website, and we'll also send out a group email to everybody that registered that wants the toll-free number from Big Call Universe. Okay? Now, will you be getting an email from Wells Fargo? Yeah. They have everybody. They've got the list. They know. And they'll be sending those out with the 800 number. So we're looking for that to happen. But we've also kind of, there are some people that they might not have the email from. Maybe you've changed your email. And if you have, you know, let us know of the change. If you haven't changed it, we've got you if you've already registered. Okay? On the website. So if you haven't registered, bigcalluniverse.com. It's free. All you do is register your email, and that gets us your email that we can be in touch with you. And we can be in touch with you so we can talk to you about upcoming podcasts that I might do with Bob, without Bob, by myself, with part of the team, whatever. It could be a number of different podcasts that we'll make available on Rebuild America, on Rebuild International, on the Veterans Retreat Network, and on the Pastoral Retreat Network. Those are my four projects, and I've asked you guys to help me on those, especially on Rebuild America and maybe a little bit on Rebuild International, starting in the Dominican Republic, Haiti, if they let us in, and without a bunch of red tape, a bunch of nonsense, we'll help out Haiti. And then we'll go to the Bahamas, too, and help them from hurricane damage that they might need some recovery from. Okay, so those three countries are where we want to start first. And obviously, with what's happened down in along the Guadalupe River in Texas, in the hill country, hey, if they need help down there rebuilding, we can certainly help rebuild those homes and those lives down there. Absolutely. And we're also meeting and planning to get together pretty soon up in western North Carolina. We've got some good connections there that we're going to open up and meet with and get started seeing what we can do to help western North Carolina. And then, of course, there's eastern Tennessee and maybe a little tip of southwestern Virginia and anything else that's needed from the Hurricane Helene damage that came through, not to mention Florida, which I'll have to get a report from Bob to see how everything's going down in Florida right now. But I know they've done a lot of cleanup down there, and I think they're probably rebuilding as we speak. So we'll see how that's going. So send Sue an email if you want to get if you want in on her class, next class. And then, of course, don't forget, if you want the MedBed 100 or Designing Your Best Future course, each one is $100. Just let her know if you want DYBF, Designing Your Best Future, DYBF 100 or MedBed 100. Okay? Send it to Integrated Minds, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-E-D, Minds, M-I-N-D-S, at hushmail.com. Hush. Hush, puppy. Hush, mail. All right, so let's do this. That's all I had to say tonight. I want to thank Sue, thank Bob. Hope he's having a good time this afternoon over in Alaska. And I know he is. And hopefully we'll get to talk to him on Thursday. So I want everybody to have a good night, but I want us to pray. I don't want everybody to keep Central Texas and the whole state of Texas, which is a whole other country, as we know, or could have been, in our prayers. I can tell you it was a nefarious event that took place that caused that. Kind of like what happened in Maui. And maybe like what also happened in Southern California. Okay? You guys know where I'm going with that. So let's do this, regardless of what caused that tragedy, we still need to love those people and pray for them. And the idea of all those little girls at that Camp Mystic and the boys that might have been affected over in Camp La Junta also, and everything in Kerrville, Kerr County, down all the way to Georgetown. I mean, it's terrible, you guys. We got 150-plus people we think are still missing. And that's ridiculous. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, our hearts go out to the people of Texas and Central Texas, specifically to those families who have lost loved ones in this incredible tragedy. We speak healing to the families, to the state of Texas, to the country for this incredible, ridiculous event that took place on the 4th of July between 4 and 6 a.m. in the morning Central Time. We thank you so much for the fact that all things work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your promises. And we just thank you for the opportunity to help and to help heal. Heal the wounds, Lord God. Heal the families. It's a one day at a time situation, we know. But we want to love them and provide support and assistance, do whatever can be done to make Texas whole again. Thank you for everything you're doing to make us whole with this blessing that we're waiting for. Bring the toll-free numbers in. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, everybody have a great night tonight, and we will look forward to seeing you on Thursday, and hopefully we will be doing a celebration call. We'll see you then. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Sue. Good night.